You're listening to The Zesty Garden, and in with me today is Shane Taylor, horticultural specialist and buyer for Cactus and Tropicals in Salt Lake City. And he's here to recommend another houseplant, and this one I've never heard of before, a Haworthia. Where did that name come from, and what is this plant?
Well, okay, there was a British lord, Adrian Hardy Haworth, that would send botanical expeditions into Africa. And they noticed this specific group of plants that had very unusual growth habits, often with translucent leaves where you could see inside the leaf. They call them window leaves. He found many different species all throughout the African continent, mostly on the southern end, of course, so where it's a little bit drier. And it is named after him. And it's ironic that his middle name is Hardy, because these are very hardy plants. This is a type of succulent that if you're interested in getting into succulents and you want to try your hand at it, this would be a good plant to start with. It is closely related to aloe, although you'll find many stranger looking leaf forms than aloe has.
So when you're saying this is a hardy plant, it's not related to a hardiness zone, just that it's going to take a lot more punishment.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Yeah, it's not cold hardy. You wouldn't want to put it out in your garden here, but it is a houseplant that will last even under some really tricky circumstances. So most succulents, because they're from the desert, of course, they need a lot of sun. And that's going to be the tricky thing about cactus and succulents is you've got to have them in a sunny window. Whereas Haworthia, because they have a lot in common with aloe, they're often growing in coastal regions with more fog, more cloud cover, and they can adapt to indirect light or to artificial lighting. On my desk at work, I have a species of Haworthia that just sits under an artificial light, and it has for almost a year now, and they do just fine. In fact, in a lot of sun, they'll tend to sunburn. They'll tend to get coloration red or even dark black on the leaves if they get too much sun.
I've noticed that it reminds me of hens and chicks because of the way that it's growing in the pot. There's like 6 different little plants.
Yeah, they are clump growers. Like many in the family, they will produce offsets. Or pups. And this specific variety, which is called Haworthia cimbiformis, has much more succulent leaves. It's much more rounded, and then it's very noticeably translucent on the tips where you can look down in. And those are adaptations. Keeping it as close to the ground as possible means that it's going to lose less water during the dry seasons in nature. And having those open leaves that let more light into the leaf allows it to absorb light even in lower lighting situations. So this is a plant that you can let dry out and you can keep in bright but indirect light, and it will do great. And not many succulents can say that.
Mm. So you can do it in bright indirect light, or you can keep it in really low light with just a fluorescent light above it. I mean, it sounds like the one that's sitting on your desk.
Yeah.
Seems to be doing pretty well with that. So.
It is doing really well. It's just one of those little LEDs that you can screw into a regular light socket that's only 12 watts, and it sits about a foot or two below that desk lamp. And it comes on every day when I'm there. It's on for 8 hours or so per day, and it's enough to keep it happy and healthy.
Does it have to be transplanted very much?
You know, they do grow, and they grow at a pretty fast rate for a succulent, and they can be divided and transplanted on a regular basis. This one we've got here, you'll notice that the pot is already starting to squeeze out, where it's really taking up a lot of its space in the container, and it's ready to either be divided or moved up. And if you move it up, it's going to keep spreading out, keep producing pups. If you divide it, it'll take it a little bit longer to start over and start producing those offsets.
So it won't get much taller than it is right now. It'll just spread. So like right now, it's maybe 1.5 to 2 inches.
Yeah, this tall variety, that's basically as tall as it gets. There are some taller varieties of Haworthia, but of course the tallest being still shorter than about a foot, maybe 8 to 10 inches tall is going to be the tallest variety of Haworthia that I can think of. A lot that trail. There are several varieties that will spill over the sides of the container and trail down, like Haworthia retusa eventually will trail. They're great plants. You don't need to fertilize them. You just water them when they're dry. They are collected because of their really unusual leaf shapes. You'll get many that look like somebody's taken a set of shears and chopped the leaves perfectly flat. And that perfectly flat top of the leaf will be translucent. You'll be able to look down inside the leaf. There are just some really fun varieties of Horthia.
And this one has a little bit of striping on the underside of the leaf as well.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of pattern. This variety, Cymbiformis, also comes in variegation, sometimes with white or yellow variegation. It's a little bit more rare. You'll find rare varieties of Horthia on the internet, sometimes selling for hundreds of dollars because people really are into collecting different types and different varieties.
And if you had, what cost are we looking at just to purchase a small one like this?
Oh, often you'll find some of these more common Horthias in general succulent assortments at your regular grocery store or here at our shop. We bring in specific varieties if we can, or we bring them in with our assortments as well. This guy retails at our store for $5.95.
So pretty inexpensive for a houseplant.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that will continue to live and thrive indefinitely. One of the people I work with, she has an extensive collection of Horthia, and she brings them in to divide them about once every 18 months to 2 years, and she's always giving starts to other people. I've got a couple starts from her, and they're just fun plants. They're great, unusual succulents that will give you some good texture, some good color.
What will it look like if you are beating it up too much? You talked about if it gets too much light.
If it gets too much light, it's going to start turning red. You'll know they sunburn just like us. They'll get that red blush to the tips of the leaves. And at first, that red won't hurt it at all. Some people actually prefer the plant to have a little bit of that color just because it's, you know, something different or unique. If it deepens to like a maroon or a deep, like a reddish black, you know that the plant is moving towards actual leaf damage at that point. So that means it's got too much light. And of course, like any succulent, because their leaves are thick and fleshy, if you poke it or bump it or break it, that, you know, that damage shows up permanently. And until that part of the plant is overgrown by other parts of the plant, it will look damaged. The most common way people kill their Horthias is the same as every other plant. They tend to overwater. And these plants tend to like to go a little bit drier. So it's very important to let them go a little bit longer. And that seems to be one of the themes of the plants that I pick personally, because I'm one of those people that forgets. So I have to have plants. I like plants that I can forget about. And this is one of those plants.
Okay, so we're talking about the Horthia, and Shane Taylor, horticultural specialist and buyer for Cactus and Tropicals, is in the studio with me. You know, I wanted to ask you about your job, because you're a buyer, and that sounds like it'd be awesome, because you could just look at all of these different plants, and of course you've got to think about, all right, so the general public, how are they, would they be accepting of this? But, I mean, just personally, I think it'd be so hard to choose. Because you get to go out and see all the different things, the different plants are available.
It's a really fun job. It's something that I very much enjoy doing. One of the fun things about working at Cactus and Tropicals is over the years I've got to do a little bit of everything. And so this is my most recent position. And it's fun. Not only do you get to see all these plants, but you get to go out and see all these plants. So I just recently came back from Florida, where I was able to go through these giant growers, huge greenhouses where they're growing these succulents and these ferns and these house plants and in massive buildings and just neat varieties.
So you go down with the budget, so you know what you can bring back and you have to limit yourself.
Oh yeah, we always have to stay pretty strict to the budget. It's good and it's bad. Like you said, the general public, you kind of have to buy for that. And that can make it a little bit more narrow, because generally the plants that the general public use are going to be stuff like Dracaenas and Pothos and the stuff that are fairly common that we see every day. And the thing that gets us excited, that gets me excited, are those plants that you don't see every day. But one of the reasons that you don't see them every day is they're not going to be super easy to grow. So
so maybe every once in a while you bring one of those back, because I'm sure you have some customers that just want to try something different.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that at our shop that we really try to show off, is some of the weird stuff, some of the unusual house plants and some of the different varieties that you can grow. And so we do go out and look for things that you would normally not see at your regular grocery store or your Home Depot or whatnot.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. Thanks for being there for us.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Shane Taylor, horticulture specialist and buyer for Cactus and Tropicals in Salt Lake City.